telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What's up with
freedom? Cut me loose.
Hello. What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I love it, Brian, when things on Monday morning start out with a complaint. Already on the text line.
Really?
Complaints already. It appears that one of our regular listeners from the 608 knows that it is the Scotty Summer giveaway here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know what my word is for the hour, so we'll get that for you. If you haven't heard about it already, Civic Media has got you covered. It is a statewide text to win contest. You can win a Wisconsin Dells getaway package. We've got Brewers club level seats. They're amazing.
I have a word.
We've got the word.
Are you ready for the word?
I'm ready.
All right. It's going to be hard to remember, especially since it's spring, but it's lawn.
L-A-W-N, lawn. Lawn. I hope my Wisconsin Dells getaway, of course I can't win, came with a pool boy. That would be fun. Garcon.
In a previous life, I would have absolutely volunteered for pool boy.
In a previous life, you heard it here, Brian Kelly, in for pool boy. Now here's the trick.
Would have been.
We got tons of texters hitting us up. Lynn, Sam, lots of folks, new folks, 920s, Ben Richland Center, Robert McFarland, Charles from Milwaukee, Andrew from Verona. Yay.
It's working, guys.
Josh from Oshkosh.
Remember, it's lawn, L-A-W-N. What I spent a lot of time making myself sore over this weekend, the lawn.
The lawn, yes. We all do a lot of lawn.
It rhymes with Maggie Dawn.
Except spelled differently.
Much different.
Yes. You go, I think, if I've got this right, Brian, you actually have to text via the app.
Yeah, you go to the civicmedia.us, go to your Civic Media app, and you submit via the Civic Media app.
So text via the app. Be sure that you're doing that, everybody. I see you, Chad from Stoughton. I see all you folks. Happy, happy Monday. The word of the hour is lawn. Again, you can win on Civic Media's Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. There's a Wisconsin Dells getaway and package, Brewers tickets. There's a staycation package. Can't wait to hear what's in that. Woohoo! And today is also a very special day, not just because we're starting the Text to Win giveaways for the summer here on Civic Media, but also because it is day one of Biden's Top 100. We're going to be kicking that off at the bottom of the hour at 2:30. This week's theme, this week's topic is the economy. And today specifically, we are going to be talking about the billionaire's tax and Joe Biden's proposal for the billionaire's tax. Because guess what we need to do more of? We need to tax the heck out of Eric Hovde and Ron Johnson and Jeff Bezos and the Berkshire Hathaway guys and my client who's going to be joining us at that's the lawyer in me right there.
Been lawyering over the weekend.
I've been lawyering a bit. And my guest at 2:30 who thinks we just need to be taxing rich people more and paying a fair wage. Who would have ever thunk it?
Turns out there's
things
a lot
would
of
get better for us.
A lot of research on that. It's funny how the Pew Research Institute, they have a wonderful study on the minimum wage and workers' wages in general. And it seems that compared to the CEOs, right about the time, oh, let's say early 80s, they just started like the CEO salaries went up and the workers' salaries just flatlined. Essentially, you know, $4.20 an hour back in like 1978 is worth like $22, $23 an hour today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse. We'll talk about it all week and in various moments throughout the next 100 days as we talk about and highlight Joe Biden's proposals and policy accomplishments. Yeah, the minimum wage ain't a minimum wage anymore. People who are making minimum wage make less money today in real dollars than they did 20, 25, 30 years ago. It's an absolute travesty. We'll get to that. If you want to leave us a voicemail and tell you how President Biden's work in his first term has impacted and helped you and your family, you can call us and leave a voicemail. You'll hear me as the voicemail message at 608-688-9088. If you would like to answer basically our polling question this week about how a tax system should be structured to be fair, your opinions on that, you can engage a different way. You can go to civic.audio/taxes. So very excited. That is coming at the bottom of the hour. And of course, I'm going to talk about some other political happenings. There's lots happening, Brian. Well,
there are a couple things going on in the world today, I heard. A
couple, two, three things. We'll get to them. But I wanted to start this afternoon because I heard the most interesting discussion earlier this morning about directions and getting lost and people's ability to navigate. Which, are you a map person, Brian?
I am a map person, for
yes.
sure.
Whenever I go someplace new, especially foreign country, before I get there months ahead of time, I get a big map of wherever it is that I'm going, as well as like a detailed sort of drilled down street map where I will be. And I try to orient myself to the major landmarks, etc.
Yeah.
That are in the place. So I've got some idea if I'm taking public transportation or getting off, especially a subway as opposed to an elevated train as they have in that southern suburb of Milwaukee.
They do have a subway there too, and it can be very disorienting. You are above ground, you don't know when you get down. But although Chicago is very unique in that if you know a cross street, I can get you anywhere because everything is a grid. It's a grid system. There are maybe like five or six diagonal streets. Everything else is a grid. And if you get the coordinates, I can get you there without a map at all.
That's, you know, most maybe cities, except for, again, Europe's a different thing. But most American cities have a grid pattern. So the thing that I was really fascinated about listening to this discussion was the fact that many Americans have simply gotten away from the use of maps at all. People don't know how to orient. We're all using the old Google maps, what have you. I remember, have any of you seen the Progressive ads where it's the young people being counseled because they've turned into their parents? These crack me up every time. Well, one of them was the parents with the printed out MapQuest directions. My folks still do that. They're still printing them out. If you would like to get in on this, are you a map person or have you just abandoned all pretense of having any hard copy maps or trying to orienteer yourself and you're just strictly the phone? 855-75-CIVIC. Well, that's 855-752-4842.
Even if you're in and on the phone and that's how you use how you get your information, you're still using a map. So if you, because there's two different, I've noticed this, there's different types of people that need to have the turn-by-turn instructions, and there are people who can use it by the map. Now, yes. I've also been playing video games for a long time, so not only strategy games, so I'm used to the map there, but I'm used to, like, running around with a map in the corner, and I can see where I'm going, so it's a lot easier. Although I did grow up where, you have an atlas to go and find out where you are. And I grew up all over the place. So I went to a wedding for a high school friend in New Hampshire, and I drove back at the time my parents were living in Detroit. So I went through Canada.
Yeah.
Well, I had an atlas of every United States state, and it kind of had some adjacent roads in Canada. But once I got there, it was dark. And I went through like Niagara, Buffalo area. And I think I turned wrong and I found myself somewhere.
Somewhere.
Didn't know where I was. There was no GPS. This is flip phone time. And you know what I had to do?
Go figure it out.
Go towards the light. I drove towards where the city lights
civilization
were.
Civilization is that way.
I drove towards civilization.
Yes.
And it worked.
That is just good old common sense. Robert from McFarland saying he's a fan of Google Maps, that it's safer from an interface basis. Yeah, sort of. We'll get to that. It's interesting because there are researchers that study what I'm going to call like orienteering anxiety, the anxiety that human beings experience when we get lost or can't find our way. And big shocker here, people are more anxious about this than they were a long time ago. Researchers also study like, why are some people better at directions and getting where they need to go than other people? If you want to chime in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do not worry, I will get to Donald Trump. Second hour. I get, there's not a day that ends in Y where I'm not going to be talking about Donald Trump for some of it.
At least another couple months, hopefully.
Yeah, two tree.
It's fine.
It's fine.
There's a lot of really intensive talk.
Yes.
Although, it was really nice when I went away for engineering for a little bit, not to have to type in the name every day.
Well, those days are gone, Brian. Welcome to the Maggie Dodd Show.
I know.
You're hearing the smooth, dulcet tones of my producer, Brian Kelly, here with me every day. If you want to weigh in on the direction question, 855-752-4842. Do you know how to use a map? Do you think people still know how to use maps? Why is using a map important? The researchers, so generally speaking, the researchers are finding that people's anxiety surrounding directions and getting lost going up. No shock there. By the way, also, what they've discovered is that there's a bit of genetic component. Are you good at directions and figuring out where you're going? But that predominantly, it's a culture thing, meaning that if you have a lot of experience navigating, using maps, getting around, that's been part of your education, you tend to be very good at that. In Scandinavia, do you know this, Brian? They have like maps and orienteering courses, both urban and rural environments. Of course they do. And there are no gender differences in Scandinavia between the people's ability to get where they're going. Education. Who knew? Kind of fascinating.
It's kind of answers that nature nurture question.
Yeah, huh? At least as to getting around this rock we call Earth. We're going to dig in some more when we come back. How do you get around? The Google Maps on your phone or the old-fashioned way? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a moment.
Hey, I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
He says we're going the wrong way.
How would he know where we're going?
Would you like an escapade and to get away? But only if you know how to read a map. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got to listen to a little bit of Janet. This is from an era where, you know, everybody knew how to read a map. Now we're all using the Google Maps or whatever it is, whatever your preferred app on your phone. And folks are experiencing higher levels of anxiety when they find themselves lost or disoriented. And the question is, why does any of this matter? I mean, from a purely Girl Scout perspective, it's good to know how to read a map and get yourself around. It's a good human survival skill. You know, has your phone ever died? And then, oh, gee whiz, I don't know how to get where I'm going now. That's not good. Your phone will die. I mean, back in the day in the wilds of New York City when I first moved there, we didn't have smartphones. I had Blackberries coming out of my ears. But no smartphones. So you had to figure out, especially the coming out of the subway thing, because you don't know which side you're on. Am I facing north? You had to figure it out. Best landmarks were the rivers and the big tall buildings.
Yep.
That's what you use. So I'm going to give some orienteering tips. But one of the most fascinating things that I learned sort of poking around in some of the research about this was that when people engage in their physical surroundings to orient themselves to get better at navigating, they actually start to feel a more deep sense of connection to that place, which only makes sense, but there's cognitive science to now back this up. Mike from Spring Green, are you a map person or are you exclusively a phone navigator these days?
Well, I used to be a Boy Scout, so the be prepared always stays in my head.
Heck yeah.
And I think a GPS is great, but I know from life fact that when the phone is going to die, it's when you're really depending on it a lot.
Yeah.
So we went down to see the eclipse, and we picked a pretty random spot in the middle of nowhere. I had maps with everything circled just in case, because I knew if the phone was going to die, that's when it would do it.
Of course, when you're out in the place with no connectivity or where you don't have a plug. Now, can you read a topographic map, Mike?
Yes, yeah. We taught our kids, our Boy Scouts, how to do that, because the troop they went into only used a GPS. And I thought, well, drop that thing in the pond one time and that's it. So we learned compasses, and these 11-year-olds could really do a good job finding their way in and out of the woods, and it was really fun.
Very cool. Thanks so much for calling and listening, Mike. You drive safely out there. Speaking of navigating, drive safely if you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. I have always been a massive map geek. It really helps me feel not just more connected to the place as a visitor, but like, hey, I'm with it. I know what's happening. I'm not, you know, I don't have my head buried in the phone. If I'm traveling someplace, I want to experience it. And if I have to have my head buried in the phone, I'm not rubbernecking around. I'm not soaking up the vibe of the place. And in fact, again, behavioral scientist, cognitive psychologist, Mary Haggerty at the University of California, Santa Barbara. So as we get better at navigating, we have, again, this deeper sense of connection. It brings about a greater sense of peacefulness. We're more easily able to relax in certain spaces, even if they're familiar, because we can orient ourselves in the larger picture. Knowing how to navigate, turns out, has all kinds of interesting stress-reducing benefits. I mean, who would have thunk? Andrew from Maine chiming in. He can ride a map. He can read a map. He can ride the map because he can read the map and get where he's going on the map while he rides in the car that's following the trail on the map.
It's a magic marpet ride.
He was in Jacksonville, Florida, had a 1.5 thick map book to plan my daily routes. Roger that. He was a firefighter, had a map book for the district. 100%. Thanks for doing that service. Army taught him how to read a map. Still have an atlas on my motorcycle. You reference it against Google Maps. Also, interesting fact, turns out that most people, again, this is self-reported, who knows, but that most people use their phone directional services actually to get real-time traffic updates. That did not surprise me at all. I do pull up routes to see how the traffic is doing. Rick, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. You a map feller, or are you an online phone guy?
Both, actually.
Both. Love it.
In preparing for, I'll go online and I do both. Obviously when you get in the vehicle, you need to, when you're driving and if you're alone, you need to have a phone to help you navigate. I just have one little quick hint for people traveling in a city, is that all tennis courts, except for one that I've ever seen in my whole life, and that was on private property, all tennis courts run north and south.
Get out of here. So, I didn't know that. Is that just to keep the sun out of people's eyes when they're serving?
Because of the sun. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's because of the sun. So if you're in a community you're looking and maybe you kind of know, but you don't know north, south, east, west, they always run north and south. Now, you can't say that for football fields and obviously they're outdoor tennis courts, not indoor, and for football fields they should be set north and south, but there are some east-west ones For instance, the University of Minnesota runs east-west. But those are just some things to
keep in mind.
To keep in mind, you're traveling. You don't have your phone is dead, like the previous person was saying. And all of a sudden.
Yeah, you got to check out the tennis courts and the football fields. Rick, encyclopedic arcana knowledge of the orientation of various sports venues.
I like that a lot.
I like it too.
Promotes fair play.
It does.
I do have to add, everybody. So that is the correct word. We're going to be using lawn, but it's going to be used at 3 o'clock.
Oh,
it's a 3 o'clock word. So everybody who's texting lawn, hang on. Half hour, it'll be active. I promise.
Sorry, no one told me. I don't know these. You now know, because Brian helps us all stay on the straight and narrow path that you might find on a map.
I don't know that I'm a straight and narrow path kind of guy. I can't even stay on one
thought.
Are
you road less
traveled?
Hey,
look, squirrel.
It's the Short Attention Span Radio Show here with Maggie Dawn and Brian Kelly. We're going to be kicking off the substance of Biden's top 100. I got a really special guest. Former BlackRock Managing Director Morris Pearl, Chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, joining me after your farm update. I'll give you some navigation tips after we kick off Biden's top 100. That word lawn to enter the statewide text to win, you're going to use that starting at the 3 o'clock hour, folks. I'll take that one. My bad, y'all. You got to text it via the app. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you are texting in for a Scotty summer text to win, wait until 3 p.m. The word of the day will be lawn. You're going to want to text at or after 3 p.m. But you're definitely not going to want to go anywhere because my special guest is helping me kick off the first day of what I'm calling Biden's Top 100. We're going to spend each day between now and Election Day, talking about a particular policy, either a policy implemented during Biden's first term or a policy proposal for his second term. We're going to talk about how it relates to you, why it's important, and each week we'll have a theme. This week's theme, I thought, you know, why not start with the real sexy stuff, the economy? Please do not turn the channel. We promise this will be interesting because my next guest has written the books that say it all. My next guest, Morris Pearl, former managing director at BlackRock. He has written a couple of books. Let's just start with those titles. Pay the People, Why Fair Pay is Good for Business and Great for America, as well as, and this is my favorite, Morris, Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. Amen to that, brother. Thanks so much for making time this afternoon.
Great to be in your show, Maggie. Thank you.
Thank you, Morris. Today's specific topic is the billionaire's tax. Tell us what it is and why it's needed.
The basic idea is that people are already rich, like people like me. We don't get a paycheck that has tax deducted from it every week like most people who work for a living do. We take money out of our stock market accounts, from our brokerage. But that's not considered income. Income is very narrowly defined. If I sell something and I bought it for a lower price an earlier date, yes, that could be considered income. And even then, I pay a much lower tax rate than people who get money from their labor pay. And what
this is
Biden
what,
is doing,
this is what, just to be clear, because people hear these words and we all tune out, right? This is what a capital gains tax is. It's gains on investment, real estate, other investment sorts of properties, brokerage accounts, et cetera. And it's not taxed at all like our regular wage income that the vast majority of us make is.
That's correct. And a capital gain, most of my capital gains are what we call unrealized. I've not actually sold anything, but I can still withdraw money from my brokerage account from that unrealized capital gain. It's just considered a loan that will be paid back after I die. And even then, the capital gain will never be taxed because it's not taxed after death.
So let me get this straight, Morris, because I want everybody at home to absolutely understand what we're talking about. All of us suckers that work for a salary, a wage, and we pay the Social Security tax and all the other shit, and then we pay an income tax and we all that stuff. Rich people don't get paychecks. What they have is they own a bunch of stuff. Well, it's stocks or investments or big, huge swaths of real estate or fancy pieces of art. And while those investments or property, while they increase in value sometimes massively, you're telling me, Morris, that they don't pay any tax on that? Just us suckers that get a paycheck pay tax on, and that the only time, if ever, a rich person will pay tax on all the stuff that they bought with all their rich person money is if and when they sell it.
If and when they sell it for a gain while they're alive, which is something you don't really need to do. I was testifying before the Senate Finance Committee a few months ago about what we call buy, borrow, die. You buy something, it goes up in value, you borrow money against it. That's not considered income, that's a loan. And then after you die, the loan is paid off and nobody ever pays any tax on it because of the way the rules work. And that's what President Biden wants to change. He wants to make people pay some of that capital gains tax every year when the price of whatever it is goes up. So people like Elon Musk and me, who are getting rich from our stock going up, would pay some taxes from time to time. And it wouldn't only be people like you who get a paycheck every week with taxes deducted that pays all the taxes of our country.
It seemed, I am an economist. I know what capital gains are. I know what all this stuff is. But when you boil it down to its most fundamental, this great inequity has been built into our tax code for so long. We've always treated income and taxed income more heavily than we have capital gains, at least in modern American history, which seems to me to be the root of all of the problem. This fundamentally, if you are earning a salary or earning wages, you are a regular person. You aren't getting what they like to call passive income. I call it mailbox money. Do nothing and money shows up. Or in other words, your investments gain in value and you're richer tomorrow than you were today without doing a single thing. Why is this such an acute problem now, Morris? Why change this now?
Well, it should have been changed a long time ago. And there's really two problems. One is that when I do have income, I pay tax at a much lower rate than you do. And the other is what that rate is multiplied by, because it's only multiplied by my realized capital gains, not all of my capital gains. And those are things that really should be changed. And it's coming to bear now because people are noticing how some of the richest people in the world don't pay any taxes. And it was obvious to me. I wasn't even surprised when that ProPublica thing came out.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they don't pay taxes. They don't have any income.
Yep.
And if you're already a billionaire, what do you need income for? You're already a billionaire.
Right. And here's a couple of things that I just want to suss out for everyone. One of the key pieces about what Morris and what we're talking about today is that when you become a person of extraordinarily high net worth, you don't even have to be a billionaire, but you have a lot of assets. You can borrow against those assets that your wealth has allowed you to purchase at extraordinarily low rates. Nobody who's a billionaire or even a 10 times tenfold millionaire is paying the rate that you folks listening are paying, that I'm paying on my credit card if I don't pay off the balance. They get extraordinarily favorable rates. So you're borrowing against all of this wealth, which isn't taxed, and you can do so really cheaply relative to everyone else. That's thing one. That's Morris's when he says, what was the term that you used? The buy, borrow, die strategy of tax avoidance. And the second thing is, what he was saying is the capital gains rate, what I'm going to call the tax rate that we charge to rich people for not working. Okay. The capital gains rate is way lower than the income tax rate. And finally, third point, as Morris just explained, you only pay that special rich person's tax rate that they get charged because they're not working. You only pay that special rich person's tax rate on the realized gain, which means only when you actually sell the underlying asset for a profit. And if you never do that and you pass it to your heirs, you ain't ever paying tax on it.
Yeah. My tax rates on realized gains that I actually realize as long-term capital gains would be zero up until around $100,000, and then 15% for several hundred thousand dollars after that, and only then would reach 20%. And that's as high as it ever goes. And so if you look at my income tax return, it looks like my tax rate is somewhere in the mid-teens. But even that's deceptive, because if you look at my income on my tax form is not all the money I made during the year. It's only the profit on things I sold.
Yes.
Not the total amount I got from selling things, but only the profit from the things that I sold. And so it's, you know, basically meaningless. It's a totally different system, because somehow these Congress people have been convinced, oh, the rich people will, if we charge them taxes, they'll go on strike and stop being rich or something.
Can you please take this one, Morris? Because I know you also are an undergrad in economics, which I also did, and then finished my graduate work in applied mathematical economics. This one always mystifies the heck out of me, because all of a sudden, all of the free market capitalists, oh my gosh, if we actually start taxing wealth increases and capital gains without realization requirements, in other words, without selling for a profit being the trigger, all of a sudden all rich people are going to go on strike, which I don't even know what that means. Most rich people I know don't want to, you know, aren't working and are on effective strike anyways. But it's as if the fundamental premise of all economics gets thrown out the window, which is they aren't going to be profit maximizing anymore, which just seems contrary to the very economic theories that get espoused by conservatives over and over again. Or am I getting that wrong? I mean, is the hypocrisy that simple?
They'll make up any convoluted theory as some justification for why rich people should pay lower taxes.
It's all garbage, is it not? It's just bogus.
The number of times I've explained that I'd rather make some money and keep part of it than make no money at all. And it's true regardless of whether the tax rate is 1% or 99%.
Yeah, do you think Elon Musk is going to be like, oh, well, you know, that extra billion I could have taken down? Nah, I'm just going to pass on that because I might pay more tax on it. That's not the way it works. It's such a garbage argument. What is it that Joe Biden is specifically preparing or proposing to do?
Well, not all that much even. Basically just saying that when you've unrealized capital gains of over a certain amount, which is many millions, that you'd have to make a prepayment on your capital gains tax, a few percent of that for some that, then you'd still get a credit against that sometime in the future if you ever did sell the thing.
This is basically just for people if they're following the bouncing ball. When your wealth increases, you'll pay a tax on that. And then when you eventually sell the asset, if you ever do, you get a credit for the tax that you paid on the wealth increase. I've got that mostly right.
Yeah, I believe that's what he's saying.
How possibly can people be objecting to this, Morris?
somehow they're saying, oh, people have no incentive to invest in stocks anymore because if they have to pay a few percent of it, then they'll, I don't know, move to Mars or something. I don't know what they think people will do. Even here in New York, people are moving in to New York from other countries. They're not moving out of our country because of our taxes. And believe me, there's lots of countries with lower tax rates than America has now. But people from all over the world want to move here because this is the kind of place where they can do things. If they don't even have a sensible argument, but somehow they just think that it's not right that they should have to pay taxes. It's absurd on its face.
Again, to boil this down, what President Biden is proposing is to tax wealth increases from investments for the wealthiest people in our country, the billionaire set or the multi-hundreds of millionaire set. That's it. And it's not to tax it at 50%. I think the baseline he was looking at was something in the ballpark of 20 to 25% on those gains, which, by the way, is lower than the highest income tax rate. More with former BlackRock Managing Director Morris Pearl, current chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, after these brief messages. It's day one of Biden's top 100. Best policy idea he's got when it comes to the economy is tax the billionaires and the non-working classes, the people with the mailbox money. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Voodoo Economics.
Hello, you fool. I love you. Come on, join
the show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Why do I say joyride? Because I am making the affirmative case for President Joe Biden starting today and for 100 days, including my vacation in August. 100 days, one policy. Every day, we're going to be talking to you about why you should vote for Joe Biden. Today, I'm talking about the billionaire's tax with a man that knows far more than I, Morris Pearl, former managing director of BlackRock, chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires. Thanks again for making time this afternoon. We've heard the term trickle-down economics. And what comes to mind, Morris, as we're talking about this, And if you're just joining us, is that we tax people that work for a living more than we tax those that don't work because they have so many millions of dollars, they don't need to work anymore. Because we don't tax capital gains at the same rate that we tax income. Capital gains is basically investment income. We only tax it after you sell the asset on the profit. We won't even get into stepped-up basis today. I know everyone's breathing a deep, deep sigh of relief. That tax class I will reserve for the future. Maybe we'll get to it. Morris, I think I can make stepped-up basis sexy again. We're going to bring sexy back, like Justin Timberlake on stepped-up basis, but not today. What we're talking, again, we do not tax the accumulation of wealth in this country. We tax people who work for salaries or wages. In other words, we tax the middle class much more highly than we tax, again, those who just can sit and create wealth, which begs this question of here Joe Biden is proposing a 21% to 25% minimum tax on the increases in wealth. When you pay it, your wealth has gone up, say $100 million in a year, or for Elon, maybe $1 billion, whatever it is. You're going to pay a tax on that. If and when you sell the asset in your lifetime, you get a credit for that tax paid. This would seem to be the very definition of economics trickling down. And yet we see all of the people who claim to say capitalism works well because it trickles down, meaning rich people will do the right things that help middle class and poorer folks get by in this world. Except they don't want to support the billionaire's tax. What's going on here? What the heck is like, trickle down? Is it an actual thing?
No, it's like, that's what I remember. I was on the Jon Stewart show once before he retired. It's a joke.
It is.
Money does not trickle down from the rich to the poor. Money trickles up. Every time you pay your iPhone bill or you make a payment to Netflix or something, that money trickles up to people like me who own stock in Apple and Verizon and Netflix and all these other companies. That's how people like me get rich, is people who work for a living making these $1 and $10 and $8 payments every month, and a few hundred million people doing that. Pretty soon you're talking real money. And money trickles up from working people to the rich investors. It does not trickle down, I can assure you. You know, have I created jobs for anybody? Well, a few people who work for our Patriotic Millionaires group, but that's it.
Yeah.
I live very well, and I can assure you that my money is not trickling down to anybody, really.
Yeah. Why do you think it has been so hard for middle-class people to basically come together and say, we disagree with this tax system. This is unfair to us. What's the barrier here?
I don't even think they realize it.
Mm.
When I go speak to groups of people about this, these things that you and I have been talking about for 20 minutes, this is total new ideas that no one's ever heard of before in most audiences. I mean, yes, you're an economist, and when I go speak to professional economists, it's fine. But most people have no clue what I'm talking about.
Well, it's because isn't it partially because we use all these terms that people don't know what the heck, like realized capital gains? It means an asset sold for a profit, meaning a higher price than when the asset was purchased.
We usually don't even do that. It's not complicated. It's because most people work for a living. They know how much money they make. They see their paycheck. They see what's deducted for taxes. And they assume it works the same way for everybody.
Yeah.
But they don't even realize that when I say I make money, it doesn't mean from a paycheck. It means from the prices of my stocks going up.
Yes.
And there's no check to deduct anything out of. And most people have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Until I explain it a few times. And it's not because they're stupid. They're actually very intelligent people. It's just this is a total concept that is not part of most people's everyday lives. It's not something they study. It's not something that happens to them. You know, it's as if we're talking about some detail of something that only happens in the other side of the world or something.
Yes.
It's just something that's not occurring to people. And then I explain it to people, and they realize that that's what's causing this huge inequality in our country. That's the root cause of why there's people marching in the streets, because they're realizing that some people are getting richer and richer and richer, and they're shocked to see they're not paying taxes. Even though I knew that all along, that rich people don't pay taxes, they don't have any incomes, they don't need any income taxes. And that's what's causing part of our breakdown of our society. We have to change it. We have to do as Joe Biden wants to do, as Ron Wyden wants to do, as Elizabeth Warren wants to do in slightly different ways, but the same general idea. We have to say that rich people should pay at least the same tax rates as people who work for a living.
Let's just repeat that, Morris, if you will. Rich people.
Rich people should pay at least the same tax rates as people who work for a living. It's that simple.
That is what President Biden is suggesting. Jeff from Shorewood, I see your questions about basis. You do have it slightly wrong. I'll explain why in a moment. This is not about stepped up basis. What is the one question, Morris, you would say to every voter, every family member, that they should ask a candidate about this very issue? What's the question?
Do you think that people who are already rich should pay taxes on the money they make at the least the same rates as people who work for a living?
There it is. Thank you so much, Morris. Way to kick off 100 days of the best of Joe Biden. Morris Pearl, my guest this half hour, the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, former managing director of BlackRock. I hope you come back sometime, Morris. We could chit-chat about these things for hours, I do
I
think.
I will. We have to get to the step-up basis.
Step-up basis. Awesome. We're going to do the sexy stuff with Morris Pearl on step-up basis. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. Your farm update is next. And then me and Brian will be back. Stay put, everybody.
Do I look like a socialist? Look at my career, my whole career. I am not a socialist.